You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop is the name of the show. And right now on the phone, I got a guy named, let me make sure I got this right, okay? No botch. Greg Sirwanka, is that correct?
You did.
All right, man. He's a guitarist for Take Offense. Keep an Eye Out is available now on Pure Noise Records. They're going to be playing Vera Project here in Seattle on Sunday, January 26th with Higher Power. First off, man, happy holidays. Like, how do you celebrate Christmas with a family? Is it a solo thing? You and a girlfriend or wife? Or how do you do it for the holidays?
Well, it's pretty much my girlfriend and I bouncing back between, you know, her mom's house and then my parents' house. So it's the balance, the juggling act of trying to, like, hit all the families, hit all the siblings, and, like, try not to, like, gorge yourself with food and pass out or fall asleep in between transit. So,
yeah, man. Are they relatively close together?
Yeah, we're all in San Diego area, so it's, like, 25-minute drive in between, so not that bad.
Dude, I gotta say, man, I'm envious of you. It's raining. It's heinous up here. Of course, classic Northwest. What's the weather like down there? Is it gorgeous and just, like, the best weather right now?
Well, actually, this week in particular, the past 3 days, we're getting some pretty cold mornings. So a cold morning for San Diego would be maybe 40 degrees, which, I mean, that's kind of cold, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, considering, yeah, it's definitely cold for San Diego. That's for sure.
Yeah, for something that stays 70 degrees pretty much all year long, you know, as soon as it hits like 39 degrees or 40 degrees, I mean, people are freaking out. We are like layering up. And obviously anyone, I mean, you guys up there and anyone else in the country just looks at us and just laughs.
Hey, man, but at the same time, during the summer, I'm sure you guys got to deal with some pretty intense weather. So, you know, it's on you. So what's the hottest it was this summer?
We'd get some high 90s. You know, sometimes it would get close to 100. I work, I'm a carpenter, so I do construction. So I'm usually out all the time. So
yep.
Definitely not fun to be doing that around like June, July, especially if you're doing roofing or any type of that kind of work.
Oh man,
where you're getting beat by it.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we can hit 99 to over 100 sometimes. So that's usually how it hits.
Dude, look at us. We're old men. We're not talking about the music. We're just talking about weather.
Exactly, weather, family, like how you have balancing the holidays, everything, but. Hey, that all factors into the music, though, you know?
Absolutely, man. It keeps you a good, calm mindset. And but I do have to ask you, man, we talked about this past weekend on Metal Shop. So we all know that video of that kid who just freaks out when he gets a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. What is the coolest Christmas present you ever got as a kid? Was there ever one time where your mind was blown while you were unwrapping some presents?
Oh, it would probably be my first instrument, which was a bass.
Nice.
Guitar. Yeah, so I got a 4-string Squire bass. I begged my parents for one. This was probably when I was like 6th grade. Just kept begging and begging and begging, and I got one finally, just like that. You know, your first model Squire bass.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like a shy, quiet, little introvert, pretty generic musician tale, and didn't really have like a niche. And then, you know, I got that and picked it up and started just hitting it. And then I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This all makes sense now. So that's probably nothing's going to top that one, I think.
So you started out on the bass. So how long did you stick with that? And then when did you switch over to, you know, playing a 6-string?
I did maybe bass for like 2 years.
Okay.
And it was one of those like classic, my friend hit me up to be like, hey, let's start a punk band, right? And mm-hmm. I was already kind of on the fence of like, oh, I kind of want to play an instrument, but I really don't have like a reason to.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, get a bass, right? So I was like, all right, I'll grab one. He got the guitar, I got the bass. And then, you know, I took to it, started practicing, and say within about like a year and a half, he had given up, and I bought his guitar for $20 off of him.
$20.
Yeah, so I kind of switched, but I'm really glad that I started with bass first, because, and that goes, you know, with like a lot of metal music too, and a very like underappreciated instrument, and it just usually, you get a guitar player that wants to play. Your bass player is going to be a guitar player. You're not going to get like a bass player or someone that started out and saw good examples of actual bass playing. So I'm kind of glad I was able to get that, or kind of get like a way to attack the bass where it's just not guitar guy playing bass. You know?
For sure. I mean, there's certainly a way to just, you know, duplicate what the guitar player is playing, and you can just kind of ride along with it and go along with it. But it, I mean, there's so many bassists that really stand out, you know. And we're talking about like you know, Suicidal Tendencies, or bands like there's like, you know, all kinds of bands, and you guys too, a lot of kind of more groovy, almost funky style of bass playing. It's just it's own instrument, you know, so make it count.
Yeah, you can. It's all about making it fit, and you don't ever have to just mirror what the guitars are doing. You can, you know, stay kind of within like the root note and kind of do your own thing. It's just like the balance act. But yeah, you definitely bass playing is incredibly important. So.
So now, you know, fast forward however many years, and do you have any companies that you work with as far as like being a guitarist, or are you sponsored by anyone, or you have endorsements?
Man, I am not sponsored by anybody, so...
If you're listening to this, hook this guy up.
Yeah, I mean, yo, that'd be great, man. If anyone wants to throw me a guitar, that'd be super appreciative of that.
So what's your hookup, though, for the gear nerds out there?
Oh, man, I mean, you know, I guess my number one pick, I mean, I've rocked Jackson since I was in high school.
Okay.
So, I mean... That's really like my dream. That's what I wanted the most. I mean, it's just one of those you stick. I don't know. I've kind of played them all, and there's just something about just the name Jackson.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just I can't think of. I don't ever see myself playing anything else. So.
Fair enough. Dude, so let's get into the album, man. The album we've been playing, it's called Keep an Eye Out. It's available now. You guys signed to Pure Noise Records. How did that come about? I mean, that's quite a move. They got bands like Terror. They got bands like, I mean, that Knock Loose record was insane. I saw that Knock Loose CD at Target. And now you guys are label mates with them. How did things come about, and how did you get on the Pure Noise radar?
Yeah, so we actually... the first record that we put out back in 2011 was this record called Tables Will Turn that was on a record label called Reaper Records.
Oh, yeah. And, I know Reaper.
Yeah. So we did our first tour ever in the United States. We played Sacramento area, and the guy who booked it was this dude named Cahill. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, he is an A&R at Pure Noise. So he's always been a big fan of the band, and he's always liked us. So, you know, we did our first record, did an EP, did our second record, and toured really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to do the band full time, but, you know, typical story of, you know, life getting in the way. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
You got to, Southern California's expensive, man. You gotta have bills covered. So, but I know up in Seattle and the Northwest, you know, you guys are having the same issues with rent and all that wonderful stuff that you could do a whole other interview about.
Oh, yeah.
But, so anyways, we had to kind of pump the brakes and just, you know, kind of get situated. And kind of in a good way with that, it was kind of a long time period because our last record came out in 2013.
Yeah, so six years. Like I was going to ask.
Years.
Yeah, what kept you guys away for so long?
I mean, mostly just, you know, hey, I need to pay my rent.
So
hey,
just life, yeah.
Life, yeah, life gets in. And then also, too, we kind of became a little bit more selective with our touring because, you know, when you're younger, you'd be like, dude, hit it, road dog, right? You know, f*** it, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years of that, you're like, all right, maybe we should hold out for this one or maybe we should hold out for that one. And I kind of think maybe some of the touring landscape changed a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd say there was kind of an increase in like festivals, you know.
Oh yeah.
So it kind of took maybe not your band touring throughout the year, but mostly you can kind of just hit festivals. So we kind of saw like the landscape change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So where maybe bands weren't as, you know, road warrior as they used to be.
You can do select tours, yeah.
Exactly. So back to the Pure Noise thing, but this entire time period, you know, I never stopped writing, and our singer Anthony never stopped, you know, writing riffs and ideas and lyrics. And I mean, you know, if you keep playing your instrument and you want to, I was like, well, I want to try to get better at playing my guitar, you know. And
of course.
6 years of that and just kind of listening to other music and getting a little older and kind of like refining your sound. And the way I would come up with songs is, you know, I write a riff and I keep picking at it and picking at it and picking at it until I am completely satisfied. I'm not just going to like put out, you know, record 20 or 30 songs and pick five that stick. Like the ones that I'm working on, I will work on them to death. So I'm like absolutely like happy with it. So that's kind of what Keep an Eye Out is, kind of like 6 years of that in development. And
nice.
the last EP that we did, Tensions on High, which came out on Flat Spot Records, mm-hmm. those songs were also supposed to be on Keep an Eye Out as well, which would have made that like a 15-song record.
Wow.
But the thing is that right around that time period, you know, we had a guy named Mike Messina approach us, who he manages Excel and Toxic Holocaust.
Okay, so he's keyed into the thrash world.
Yeah, but he's actually an old, he's going to be bummed hearing me call him old, but fuck it, whatever, Mike, you're old.
He's a boomer! Just kidding.
He's a boomer.
Okay,
no,
boomer.
He's Gen X, but so anyways, he saw us playing with Agnostic Front in San Diego, which are, you know, good friends of ours.
Yeah.
And he approached us and he said, hey, has anyone ever tried to manage you or try to get certain things, like anything going for you? And mm-hmm. we were like, no.
Yeah, being so like he kinda, hardcore DIY world, you're just like, what do you talk about, man? I don't know.
But what was cool about him is that he's from originally Chula Vista, where the band is from. And
hell yeah.
He, you know, comes from like the Chula Vista like hardcore scene. So
okay.
We had older heads vouch for him too, because you never know with a manager guy.
Yeah.
You hear all the horror stories and you're like, yeah, sure. So, you know, he kind of helped light a fire and kind of give us a little bit more of like a push and kind of a, like more of a strategy thing. So that's how we kind of slowly started getting the ball rolling again. And then, you know, we started shopping for, you know, labels to be interested. And, you know, we had some meetings with some, you know, some ghosted us, some were kind of interested, and kind of the whole process of what a band goes through when you
sure.
have the songs and you have the material and you have like the vision and the plan. And Pure Noise was the one where, you know, back to where, you know, we felt comfortable with that because Cahill booked our first show in Sacramento
yeah.
in 2011. So there's history there. And also, you know, a band like Terror being on it, which is like a, you know, a huge, Terror has helped us out in so many ways.
Yeah.
Produced the record. They've always looked out for us. So them being on it and kind of just doing your homework and hearing, well, who's happy on a label and not hearing anything bad coming out from that camp at all. And, you know, did a little homework and, you know, looked over the deal, yada, yada. And it all made sense. And it was pretty low risk. And we were like, hey, let's do it. And it's good for them because they yeah. have, seems they have a little bit more pull with like the younger generation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Which is good. Cause I think with our band, we can kind of, if you're an older head, you're going to hear the influences immediately and dig it. But if you're a younger kid, you know, it might be kind of like the first time you're hearing something like this.
Of course, yeah.
And I don't know, we're kind of just this hodgepodge, you know, Frankenstein thing where they can just kind of, you can kind of throw Take Offense in any lineup, and I'm confident that we're going to win people over, you know.
I could see you guys on a thrash show. I could see you on like a death metal show, a hardcore show, like a street punk show. You guys have a good you know, blend of stuff, and your guys is, you're a very talented band, and man, yeah, I can't see anything but success going with that record label, and also I think Rotting Out's on that label too now.
Yeah, and another reason why, you know, signing with them was also kind of like a no-brainer,
yeah.
which Rotting Out is another, you know, really good friends of ours. We've toured with them. So, you know, that's kind of how it just all eventually led to that direction. And, yeah, and, you know, back to what you said where we could, you know, play like a death metal band or a street punk band. I mean, that's all stuff that we were listening to when we were growing up. And, you know, we're all kind of fans of all the genres of this stuff,
yeah.
and I people can always kind of see that.
Definitely, man. Now I hate to bring it up because we just talked about, you know, being working on the record and stuff, but you know, when a band's away for, you know, a few years, you always have to ask, and obviously it's not didn't happen like this, but was there ever a time where you thought about, you know, maybe ending it? And, you know, was there ever any talk about just, you know, giving up and not doing Take Offense? Or were you always, did you always know you were going to come back to it?
Oh, every week it was, I don't want to do this shit anymore. Every week. Every week, every day. And the band was close to, I wouldn't say breaking up, but kind of doing a, like maybe a kind of official hiatus type deal where
sure.
like, hey, you know, you'll see us when you'll see us kind of deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because that's, you know, one of the things with the hardcore punk scene is that you're always getting kind of like a newer, you know, every 6 months to a year, you have like a new generation of kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of want to see, or maybe they want to see something current that they yep. can relate to. So if you've been around for like 2 or 3 years, it's like you're kind of like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Which is a major bummer because, you know, I kind of can compare that to where how quick rap moves right now.
You know, absolutely, man.
Yeah, like a rapper will come out and then, you know, shelf life is like maybe they're lucky they can get a year or two, and then it's like boom, next thing. And I'm seeing a lot of that with kind of within like the hardcore scene, which is, I don't know, geared into internet culture, which then we could also do a whole other radio
oh, yeah.
segment or talk about that.
Because you gotta, you know, if you're not relevant, then you gotta put out another EP, you gotta put out another thing, you gotta make the memes, you gotta have an online presence, you gotta, you know, do some controversy, you gotta, you know, it's like, dude, like, whatever happened to just, like, putting a record out, touring, going away for a while, and having fans, like, enjoy that record? But, hey, we're in a culture right now where everything is so and sudden and instant, and everyone's new. Everyone wants a new fancy thing, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, like there's records that I totally forgot I loved this year. I was doing like my end of the year thing and like top records, and I was like, oh man, there was like records that I listened to for quite a while and loved, and completely, you know, fell off the list. I was like, what the hell, man?
Oh, because it's, I mean, it's this information sensory overload every day, you know, so it's super easy for you to be like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, I was completely, you know, infatuated with some record for like a month in like the beginning of the year, and I have no idea about it now. So, yeah, which is just kind of like a sign of the times. But like going back to, you know, yeah, that time period, I mean, that can totally you too, because you're like, oh man, like is anyone gonna care, all that kind of stuff that I think every artist, you know, maybe in certain interviews they'll say that they don't think about that, but everyone does.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, so it can be, you could be your kind of your own worst enemy in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the end of the day, like, we, no matter what, would have, like, put out the record and recorded the songs just to get them finished and just to have it out.
Yeah.
And just to be like, we did this, like, to, like, a, you know, completing something. So, but, yeah, that all that factors in. And very close, the band could have went on a really long hiatus, but, you know, our manager, Mike, mentally conned me into keeping going for maybe like another year. So,
hey, thanks, Mike.
He's got his work cut out for him.
Nice, dude. Well, okay, so we were talking about, you know, everything being so instant and music constantly coming at us and everything, but let's go back to like a simpler time, if you will. Let's think back to like just growing up, and what was the first, you know, album, what was the first tape, CD, whatever, physical form of music that you remember purchasing on your own, not being given or handed down, but the first one that you actually bought on your own? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was a Ren and Stimpy tape.
Nice, dude.
So that was my
happy
first,
happy
first.
joy.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was because, you know, like we went to, because I was my pops is in the Navy, so
okay, yeah.
I originally lived in Virginia. We were stationed in Virginia Beach. I forgot the name of the record store, but I went in there and I, you know, saw the Ren and Stimpy cassette tape, and I was like, well, I have to have this because this is all my young mind knows.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I had a brother. My brother Mike is 3 years older than me. So, you know, this is like, I was born in 88. So mm-hmm. This is right around 91, 92, 93. So, obviously, two huge records. You have, you know, Black Album from Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
They're like the biggest f-ing band in the world at that time. And then, obviously, you know, from your neck of the woods, every band cranking out releases.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. What band are you talking about?
Yeah. I think there's like this whole thing kind of in your area, kind of like the early first couple of very early 90s. I think there's about like three or four of them.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of obscure. No one's ever heard of them.
Yeah, well, obviously, that, and then, you know, those were kind of like the first things I was listening to was, you know, my brother was 3 years older than me, so, you know, he had Black Album on cassette.
Yeah.
So I was listening to that, and then I was listening to, like, obviously, you know, accessible radio, rock radio.
Yeah,
stuff,
Alice in Chains, Nirvana,
yeah,
Stone Temple Pilots.
Green Day, all that. But then what's funny is because if you like that stuff, you will eventually want to work your way back and find where all of that is rooted in.
Yeah.
And then that is where, I mean, that's kind of where the journey goes, to where you get in, I get into like everything that I'm into.
So, like what was the first, okay.
Gateway band.
Yeah, so those are gateway bands, but then what, do you remember, I mean, you guys come from the hardcore scene, and which is, you know, kind of rooted in the punk scene. You know, obviously you guys have a lot of thrash metal influences. Were you into metal first, or punk, or hardcore? Like, where was, like, ground zero for you?
Yeah, so, I was kind of like a sponge.
Okay.
In sixth grade and in middle school, so I was kind of just listening and getting, you know, snippets of a ton of shit. Like, I knew punk kids, so, you know, I remember getting, you know, Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bollocks, you know, getting that record and being like, oh, this is different than this radio, like, accessible radio punk I've heard, you
yeah.
know?
Oh, yeah.
And then if you get that, opens your door to, like, 77 punk, and that's going to open, you're going to go down that portal.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I was playing bass, and I was hanging out, just kind of jamming with whoever, so I would, you know, kind of hang out with, like, a dude that's a more, like, metal dude, you know, and he'd be like, oh, hey, check out, like, so you like Black, you're a Master of Puppets, you know, or have you heard the first Slayer record? Like, have you heard this, you know? So I was just kind of like sponging around and kind of getting snippets of stuff, you know, and I remember getting into high school and I had a homie who was already into like pretty, like death metal. So I'm, you know, he opens up his like CD booklet where everyone puts like the CD booklet in, like the cover in there.
Oh yeah, I still got mine.
Like, you organize that. So, you know, he's got all your classic, like, Florida death metal. You
Hell
know,
yeah.
Like, every young kid seeing, like, Cannibal records for the first time, you're, like, looking behind your shoulder, like, are we allowed to have this kind of
And then it just makes it that much cooler because you're like, that's a skull eating that's dead.
Yeah, you immediately are like, Like everything you're listening to is secretive.
Yep.
Because if anyone looks at it, they're gonna be like, you're gonna get put on a list, like that yep. kind of shit, you know.
And then there's I'm sure the rap stuff too from that time, and like all that is just super, you know, aggressive, and like you probably don't want your parents knowing about that stuff too. So.
Yeah, totally. And you know, my brother, you know, was into skateboarding, so. You know, like, watch any old skate videos, and it's such a mix of stuff where you're hearing, like, hip-hop and punk. So, you know, the first hardcore record I heard was his friend gave him a cassette copy of Black Flag's Damage.
Nice,
and
yes.
And I specifically remember him playing the song Room 13, and I was like, yo, this is raw as you know, and I remember, like, checking that out and then going to the bookstore, and I remember getting Roland's book Get in the Van.
Oh yeah,
which is, you know, hearing that, and then you open that book and, you know, he's already like telling you, oh, these bands from this region, you know, like all the history and that kind of stuff. And then right around that time when I'm in high school, I start getting in tune with like the local hardcore scene and the hardcore punk scene there. And, but it all kind of like clicked with hardcore music, cause it was like attainable. And when it, like street punk was really big, but all the street punks were just like too up and too sloppy to where it's just like, well, I don't want to play them, cause it's, you know, it's kind of like a joke how bad it sounds. But then, you know, metal stuff just seems like, oh, like, if I really want to do this, like, I just got to be putting in the hours in my room.
Yeah.
And, like, hardcore is just like, yo, I can, like write songs. It's got, like, the aggression of punk, but it's got, like, organization to it, you know? And there's, like, kind of like a mission statement behind it where you're going to, like, click up and you're going to get together and you're going to be in tune with the scene. And luckily at that time.
And it's super immediate. It's a super immediate, like you could almost just like write a demo and then play it on stage within like a week. And nobody would be saying to you.
Exactly. You know, it's just like, it's like a make things happen, you know, music genre where, you know, if you're on it and you have the energy behind it, the passion, like you said, you can make a band, boom, cut a demo in a week, play a show that month. And that was, like, really appealing to me, and just the community behind it. And just, like I said, like, an obtainable thing. And just going to, like, you know, like, your first, like, kind of, like, first, like, little hardcore show. And, like, seeing just, like, the energy and just, like, sing-alongs and, like, pile-ons and just the whole chaos of a hardcore show. I was just like, dude, this is it. I'm f***ing like this is it for me. I love this. So yeah, I just like dived into the hardcore scene in my area and met because the other members of because Chula Vista is like a big city within the county of San Diego.
Yeah.
So there's all these different high schools in Chula Vista. So the other members of three or four members who take offense with another high school, but I had a buddy who was on the local hockey team, Chula Vista Hawks, and Ruben, the rhythm guitar player, take offense, was on the Hawks as well, and he told my buddy, like, oh, hey, we kind of need a second guitar player. And I had already met Ruben before and had seen take offense at a local backyard show where it was common. It would be like three street punk bands, one hardcore band, like a grindcore band and a death metal band, you know,
nice,
total
yes,
chaos kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But super fun shows, you know, just like kids wilding out. And I was like, oh yeah, take offense is sick because it's a band within like my age group and they're playing hardcore punk and this is cool. And yeah, my buddy Ricky was like, yeah, here, Ruben, hit up Greg. So he hit me up on AOL Instant Messenger.
Ooh, yeah, shout out AOL.
Millennials listening to this.
Yep.
And, yeah, I convinced my mom to drop me off at his garage and go in there. And I already knew all the songs, and we started playing them. And they were like, yeah, hey, do you want to play your first show tonight? And I was like, oh, I guess I'm in the band. And that was in 2005.
Yeah, I pulled up your Metal Archives Encyclopedia Metalum little page here, and it says you guys had a demo in 2005. That's freaking 14 years ago, man.
I know, it's crazy. And shout out to that Metal Encyclopedia thing, because I'm even like, how the f*** did they get this info? Like,
yeah.
Who's digging that hard, you know? It's a great site, though. I'm, like, always blown away how accurate.
Oh, it's insane.
Obscure, like, the info gathering is there. So,
you know you're legit when you're on there and you're like, okay, we've done it. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, we got it.
Yep.
Some dude completely wasted, like, an hour or 2 hours of his time.
It's got your contact info on here, too.
Yeah, and I don't even know how, but hey, whoever, if you're listening to this, if you've ever in any way, shape, or form updated the Tank Offense Metal Encyclopedia thing, hats off to you. Keep doing all the good work. I like mean that at the bottom of my heart. It's great.
It has your MySpace link.
Okay, maybe need to update that one.
Shout out to Tom from MySpace.
That's my only critique. But yeah, that was, you know, if you listen to if you somehow, I don't even have the 2005 demo.
The CVHC demo?
Yeah. So if you can hear that, if you listen to the band now and you listen to, like, Keep an Eye Out, you'll just start laughing immediately.
Yeah.
You're like, holy, like, whoa, this has been a journey. But I got to give a big shout out and props and credit to a band that kind of pushed the direction for Take Offense to not, instead of doing hardcore punk, start getting into the more thrash and crossover realm. And that was a local band at the time, a band called PC Death Squad.
Ooh, semi-controversial band.
Semi-controversial band. But what was cool about them is, there was, you know, older guys in the band, older dudes in our scene, but they, at that time in San Diego, there wasn't really like a band like waving the flag. So there was a lot of like different styles, and still to this day, scenes don't really like interact or mesh with each other. Everyone's just kind of isolating and doesn't really, you know, oh, I don't want to play with them, or shows are separate. I guess you could say that's how a lot of places are.
Yeah.
But at that time, you know, PC Death Squad came and they were playing, you know, just really fun, fast crossover thrash.
Party thrash, man.
like hardcore influence, and it was great because remember I told you, you know, most of our first shows were backyards.
Yeah.
Or we played loading docks.
That's tours, awesome.
You know, all that kind of total DIY punk stuff. And they were the band where, you know, they had Jackson guitars. They were doing dive bombs. And
oh, yeah.
That was the band that was, it was fun and started putting me on in age and a lot of us on to like, oh, hey, now you're like, oh, I'm going to check, oh, Violence, Eternal Nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
Or like Overkill or, you know, like DRI Thrash Zone or stuff like that.
Yeah.
We start seeing a t-shirt, seeing like an influence there. And because we just loved it because it was like fast and hard and it was like super fun to go off to. But yeah, that was the band. And we played shows with them a lot. We actually did a split 7-inch with them. And that was like our first vinyl release. And we were all in high school.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was like the pinnacle like of that somewhere where I was like, we're on a 7-inch. Like, that's such a huge deal if you're, you know, in the punk scene or the hardcore scene, like getting a 7-inch, like that's like huge. So, yeah, that was the one where kind of right after that split, you start slowly, you know, we start listening to a lot of like crossover stuff. We're listening to Suicidal stuff. We're listening to Venice. We're listening to a lot of the New York crossover stuff. You know, mm-hmm. You hear Cause for Alarm, Agnostic Front, but then you hear like Nuclear Assault, you hear Whiplash, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So all that starts like creeping in and like slowly influencing the band. So that's kind of like a pivotal point where the band starts going in that direction where I could be like, oh, hey, no, like I can, let me try a lead. Let me try a solo. Like let's do this. This is fun, you know? And once you start progressing and you get a note, like new technique down or throw it in a song. Like, I remember we were like, oh, shit, we just did tremolo picking in our song. Whoa. Like,
yeah.
You know, but compared to like the, you know, 2005 demo, we weren't doing that. But I mean, the story of what we're doing is nothing new. I mean, like, you listen to the first DRI Dirty Rotten EP, you know, and then you listen to like Fast Forward the Clock, and then they're like hitting you with Acid Rain or something.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it's like a, I don't know, a tale as old as time, but it's just, I don't know, it just kind of works out that way. But you still always want to keep that fast, like aggressive, kind of loose, free, hardcore punk, like mindset and mentality, like that never leaves you. Like ever. And you know, when you could listen to Keep an Eye Out and be like, whoa, you hear groove and, you know, a lot more hooks, but you'll never be able to take like that element away from the band because it's just like embedded in the DNA.
At the end of the day, you always were hardcore and punk kids at the beginning. So no matter how much you know, turn into Heshers and maybe you'll go tour with freaking Testament next year, who knows? But at the end of the day, you all always have those hardcore ethos.
Yeah, and we're proud of that. You know, we're not going to be a band that's going to like try to be like, oh, okay, we've been completely accepted, and now we're total Heshers now, and now we're going to completely act like we, you know, did not come through this. Like that, no way. Like that would just be like a, I mean, and most people would just see how, you know, ungenuine that is anyway. So.
For sure.
Yeah, there's no reason to, you know, lie about anything, so.
All right, man, I got to ask you. Okay, so if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Greg Sirwanka from Take Offense. Again, I got to reiterate, you got to come to this show. They're playing at the Vera Project in All Ages Space Sunday, January 26th with Higher Power. You can pick up their new record. Keep an eye out. It's available. You can stream it anywhere. See what you're getting yourself into. It's available on Pure Noise Records. Again, Greg from Take Offense. You guys started the decade off with Tables Will Turn, put out some EP, a single, another EP. You did three full lengths this past decade. We're about to end the decade, man. What are a couple words, or just one word, to describe what the decade's been like for Take Offense?
Oh, man. I wish I would have got this question prior to the interview. Man, One word?
One word, bro.
Stupid in the best way possible.
Yes. Good stupid.
You know, yeah, it's just, like, too dumb to quit because, I don't know, like, what else, like, at the end of the day, like, what else are we going to fucking do, you know?
You toured with Madball, Agnostic Front. You've done, like, what are some other bands you have to pinch yourself that you're out on tour with? I know you toured with Madball, Agnostic Front. What are some other heavy hitters?
Well, touring with Agnostic Front was huge for us because that's probably my favorite hardcore band of all time.
Yeah.
Just, like, incredible. And then getting to meet them and then actually become friends with them and then for them to actually like our band.
That's so killer.
That's huge. That's really all, like, you want. Touring with Terror was always great.
Yeah.
But then, you know, getting to play shows, you know, with, like, Negative, which was always awesome.
Yes.
We got to play with, like, we played shows with DRI. The last tour that we just did, that was with Municipal Waste, Napalm Death, and Sick of It All.
That's amazing.
That's such an incredible lineup. Just to rip it every night with bands that I was complete listening to when I was young, all three bands, you know. And just to actually, you know, become friends with them.
Who headlines on that tour? Who headlines that? Is that Sick of It All, or is that Napalm Death?
Oh no, it was like a co-headliner. Like certain nights, Municipal Waste would headline, and then certain nights, Napalm Death. I think Waste headlined probably most of the shows, but Napalm Death headlined like quite a lot.
Yeah.
Shout out to Barney from Napalm Death because he his ankle up or knee up, I think, like the fifth show into the tour, and he just was kind of like out on crutches, and then he just did the entire tour just sitting in a chair and like
what a maniac.
It did not sound any different. Like the intensity was the same constantly. So, and then seeing like that too. And also another cool thing too was the first couple of days of that tour, we met up with another tour package. It was Voivod.
Yes.
Revocation. I'm spacing on
Skeletal Remains.
Which I'm wearing a Skeletal Remains long sleeve right now. And that is like huge shout out to Skeletal Remains for just being a fucking great death metal band.
Oh yeah.
Where I'm not throwing any shade to, other death metal bands, but I go see Skeletal Remains, I don't feel like I'm watching like pretty much a jazz band at that point.
Yeah. Or a computer. You don't feel like you're watching a computer.
Yeah, but I'm getting like everything I want out of death metal. Like, I mean, I'm getting like amazing guitar playing, and it's great. Like, that was such a great band, and though there are dudes, we clicked it off. Hopefully we do some with each other next year.
Hell yeah.
A lot of mutual respect and love between both of our bands. Like, so I huge shout out to Skeletal Remains. That band is killer. If you have not heard Skeletal Remains, please correct this mistake right now. that band's great.
Hell yeah, man.
But it was also kind of a challenge for us because it's one of those things where it's like, well, you're the hardcore. Well, obviously now, I mean, we're this kind of hodgepodge. Like, there's elements of like 80s, 90s crossover thrash. There's hardcore. We have like a lot going on. But then you go and you have to play with, really, musicians from like that are like at a really high caliber.
I saw that Voivod set was insane. Yeah, those guys are incredible musicians. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so great because they like you just tell like they're loving every moment of it. Like they're just like loving it. But yeah, so that makes you want to like step your game up like so much. And a funny story about that tour is our drummer Joe, he couldn't do the tour because he has like a real lockdown job back at home.
Yeah.
So we hit up our buddy Mitchell Reitman from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we knew him from by a couple other bands that he was in. We had toured with before, and he was a big fan of the band. He's like a killer drummer. So I sent him a set list, and I asked him, hey, if I fly you out here, you want to do this tour? He's like, yeah, sure. So learns all the songs, phenomenal drummer, meets us up. We drive all the way to Dallas, so it's like a 20-hour drive, right?
Yeah.
Jump to meet up with this tour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to the tour package, and both packages are combined, so it's like 12-band bill, chaos, right?
Yeah.
And with those bands, the drum sets are f***ing massive, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Where do you set up?
So, actually, for the band, I think, like, the whole, like, Voivod and Revocation, like, the skeletal package.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, you guys can use their backline, you can use the drums. And we're like, all right, cool. So Mitch is like, all right, word. So Mitch goes up there, and, you know, he just walks up, and the kid is like, it's like two kick drums, it's a million toms.
Yep.
It's set up lefty, and he's just like, dude, I've never f-ing played one of these things. And then it's funny because all the drummers, those bands are like, what do you mean you can't play this thing? And I'm like, hey, my dude can drive a car, he can't fly a f-ing jet, you know? Yeah, he can't fly a plane.
Yeah.
So we set up our drum set in front of there, so there was three drum sets on stage, and our singer AH, like, barely, I think he had maybe a foot of clearance from the kick drum to the front monitor. But hey, we're professionals, and
made it work.
Doesn't matter where you put us, we'll make it work. And it was great, and I think we definitely got respect from that camp for doing that too. They ended up, you know, ended up bro-ing down with everybody over it. But yeah, so but what I'm saying is that kind of makes you step your game up and go like, all right, I gotta play at my best, like, you know, because these dudes are like, you're looking at them, you're like, man,
it's like, all, you know, legends. I
practice so much just to try to, you know, do some solos on the Keep an Eye Out record, and then you're watching, you know, these guys go up there and they're just absolutely ripping it. So you can't get intimidated by it, because then you'll watch a band like Sick of It All, and then they're straight up smoking everybody.
Uh-huh.
As far as the energy and, you know, running around. It's like a like sporting event when they're playing. So it was a great tour to like kind of really like push us and do our best. And
welcome, you know, back.
Yeah, welcome back. So, so like I said, back to my one word, very stupid. So
nice, dude. So you guys are coming back up to the Northwest here on your tour with Higher Power. Got to ask, man, what's your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Well, remember we were talking about those like bands from the early 90s from your area? No. favorite Northwest band. Definitely, and I don't know if I'm going to, like, open up a can of worms here, because I don't know, like, if there's some weird, like, don't you dare lump us in with Portland or Seattle thing, but Poison Idea is one of, you know, my favorite bands.
They're incredible, man. Hey, we could just say Northwest. Yeah, Northwest band.
Yeah.
Poison Idea, man. That's an iconic punk and hardcore band.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, one of those bands growing up and listening to them. And then also too, seeing like the progression too, and just, you know, like Feel the Darkness is one of just such an ill record, but even like the first you would pick your cane, like that's definitely like up there as far as it. I remember when I was in high school, as far as hardcore goes, from Seattle, Brotherhood.
Oh yeah. R.I.P. Ron Gardapi.
Yeah. R.I.P. Ron. And I remember my friend, he's in 10th grade, I was in 9th grade, and he was a, you know, straight edge youth crew dude. And I remember he showed me, like, hey, listen to Brotherhood. So, right there, I mean, like, those two, like, immediately are my, like, stuff I love.
So I was at a Ron Memorial, and there was people were talking about how back in the late 80s, I think early 90s, they did a tour. It was the Accused and Brotherhood, and they played over in Buffalo with Cannibal Corpse, Accused, and Brotherhood. Imagine that show.
That's such a wild lineup.
Right?
It doesn't surprise me because Scott Vogel from Terror, he's from Buffalo.
Yeah,
so he would tell us stories like, yeah, I think I want to say like the Goo Goo Dolls and Cannibal might have played the same show.
Both on Metal Blade, yeah.
They were both on Metal Blade, so like wrap your head around that. it doesn't surprise me at all. But I would also absolutely love to be in a Cannibal Corpse Brotherhood pit.
Oh, like, my God, that'd be so hard.
That's two things that I love right there. Like, absolutely put me in the mix of that. Like, that sounds awesome.
Dude, going down to last couple questions here. So we all know the big four of thrash. We got Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax. If we were to whittle down the big four of Greg Sirwanka's life, what's Greg Sirwanka's big four, the Mount Rushmore of Greg Sirwanka, if we will?
Of just...
All just time, everything. Music.
Music.
Four. So pick four.
Pick four. Fuck. This is a toughie. This is so hard. Let's put two B's. Let's put Bad Brains. This is not, and don't even try to have me put this in order. I don't believe putting. I can't do that shit.
Hey, no worries.
This is gonna be an extended interview if you want that shit. I probably gotta put Bad Brains.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'll put Black Sabbath.
Okay, there's two.
Oh, God. Man, that's so difficult. Holy shit. You're going to have to put Slayer in there.
Okay. There's three.
I mean, that's three. I probably put Agnostic Front in there.
All right, man. What is that? Is it Bad Brains? Slayer? What was the second
Sabbath.
One? Sabbath.
Sabbath is not the front.
Now that's a lineup, dude. Yes.
That's a lineup, but I mean, I also feel like, man, there's probably like something else.
Right.
Well, whatever. That just came on the spot. So,
there you go, you man. Know. Hey, man, I'm putting you on the spot here, so whatever comes naturally, dude.
I absolutely could live with that, too. Like, I could totally live with, yeah, with just no all the records from those bands.
They're all iconic, man. So we got to get going here in a moment because we're going on like an hour with you, dude. I know it's getting kind of late here. You got to get up to do some construction, man. So quick question. Pick a scar on your body, Greg, and tell us the story of how you got that scar, man.
Okay, so I like how I can answer this one mad quick, but okay. There is like a mark right above my lip, and it was at a... It was a show at Chain Reaction in Anaheim, California.
Oh, yeah.
It was this one band, Internal Affairs. It was their last show. And it was packed hardcore show. It was absolutely in one of those pit to survive situations.
Uh-oh.
So Terror was playing, and they just were like, hey, we're just going to play the first record low to the low.
Perfect.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Definitely going as hard as I can, and I eventually just wake up in the bathroom, and I'm like, wow, the f*** did I get here? And my ex at the time was like, no, you walked out, like, pushed everyone away from you, and you just, like, walked straight to the bathroom. I was like, oh, like, some time traveling thing. And then I realized that I had a hole, like, in the top part of, like, my upper lip, because when I went to
my God.
Meetings... So I was actually like shooting water out of a hole,
brutal.
You know, through it. And I just rinsed off and then just like went back into it. So quick one.
No possible infection coming that way. No, not at all.
Hey, I mean, just spirit of hardcore, man. Everything was gonna be okay. Just you know, at that point, you just keep going. Just go harder.
Hell yeah, man. All right, you got the scar on your face to prove it, dude. Internal Affairs. That was a sick band, by the way. They were always gnarly, and that guy, the singer, what's his name?
Corey.
He liked to punch people in the face. I remember at Sound of Fury, he punched this guy in the face who was singing along.
Yeah, Corey, shout out to Corey. He's out in, I think he's in upstate. He's a motorcycle mechanic, and he has a... Yeah, baby boy, got a family going.
Hell yeah.
So, but I would definitely want to still get, I definitely still would love to see Internal Affairs and would absolutely love to get punched in the face. But I'm actually, no, because
it's an honor.
Yeah, I already got punched in the face on him before, but yeah, probably not anymore because, yeah, you know, that whole insurance situation now.
Hey, absolutely. You'd have to have a GoFundMe.
Yeah, I'll have a GoFundMe, which he would probably see that and then punch you even harder, which he should.
Yes, absolutely, man. So, again, this is Greg Sirwanko from Take Offense. You can come check them out in Seattle, playing Vera Project, all-ages venue, Sunday, January 26th with Higher Power. Before we go, man, any final words for the Northwest audience before we go see you on January 26th?
Be great for you to come out. I think the last time we played Vera Project was, that might have been 2015. I believe we played it with Turnstile. It was always great. Always like playing up Northwest. Rainfest was always a good time. Always remember we played there.
Yeah.
God, what was the... I'm spacing on... Now I'm a jerk for not remembering their name. But, no, it's always been a great scene. Always been cool. Had a lot of great times in Seattle. It's been a while since we played there. Stoked to be playing the Vera Project. Always, you know, go out of your way to support an all-ages venue. I think that's the one that's on a campus, right?
Yeah, it's like Seattle Center, yeah. So it's like right by the Space Needle, yep.
Yeah, so places like that are important. So, you know, always go out, try to watch shows there. Because, you know, places that are smaller that have to work a little harder and might not have, you know, some of the income or revenue or, you know, bigger budgets, it's harder to be a venue and to stay open. So I'm glad to see that they're still going because that's never guaranteed with a DIY all-ages place. So I'm glad that the show is there. And, yeah, can't wait to play. It's been a long time coming.
All right, man. Here, you heard it from the man himself. This is Greg Sirwanko. We'll see you on January 26th, man.
Thank you so much, man. First ever radio interview, so it was an honor and loved it.
Hell yeah, dude.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donor-advised funds from DAFGiving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.